Welcome to Intel on AI, a podcast series that brings you the latest on cutting-edge tech driving artificial intelligence in the enterprise today. And now your host, Emily Hudson.
Hello and welcome. My name is Emily Hudson, and this is another edition of the Intel on AI podcast. Today, we're talking with Vivek Mishra, the head of technology at VPhrase Analytics. Welcome, Vivek.
Hey, hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm good. Well, Vivek is joining us all the way from Mumbai, India, and it's the middle of the night his time, but he's actually very awake today. So thanks, Vivek. What are you working on at VPhrase Analytics?
We at VPhrase Analytics are working on a technology called natural language generation. What we do is, you know, we take data from anywhere, any kind of data that is there in out there in, you know, corporates and organizations, and we crunch the data and give out language or stories directly. That is what we're trying to do as a company. I am leading the product there and the NLG part of it, the natural language generation part of it. So we have been doing this for around 5 years now, and we have been working in this field. It's a completely niche field and sounds very similar to what NLP would, natural language processing, but it's a completely different field. And that is what we are working in, specifically I am working in, you know, the keeping the natural language generation technology, which is a very niche technology, out there in the larger market for people to actually use and leverage it.
Yeah, so that's interesting because I think we have had a lot of conversations on this podcast with companies that are using AI for data-driven decisions. And we've had a lot of conversations on companies that are using NLP solutions or NLU technologies. But I haven't really seen them combined yet in one solution. And so that seems a bit unique to me. Can you go into a little more detail about how your solution is working in a business example?
Sure. So what we generally do, I'm pretty sure that, you know, in your regular life, you would be, you know, looking at a lot of Excel sheets or maybe dashboards, and you would, or somewhere around you would be doing some kind of number crunching. What were the, you know, the hits on the podcast and how many people are watching it and what can we do to make sure? But a lot of analytics is going around. There's so much numbers floating around us. So what we as a company are trying to do is, you know, we are trying to bridge the gap between these numbers and finally the medium that we have. We are looking at numbers all across, and not everyone is Excel savvy or not everyone has the, you know, the expertise to actually, you know, come up with and interpret a dashboard. So what we do as a company is, you know, let's say that you put this Excel sheet of yours into our solution. And what this will do is, you know, it will crunch, it will analyze, reason, and write automatically like a human being. So it's an AI-driven technology. And what basically this technology does is, you know, it will analyze for you what is important in your data. It will reason out, okay, so this is something I can talk about. And it will write or speak it to you in human language. And that is the power of our technology. And we can do it in multiple languages. And it can do it in seconds. So basically, let's say, you know, you are looking at an Excel sheet. I'm just giving an example of an Excel sheet. It can be a structured data of any kind. So any kind of data, like, you know, floating around in companies, stored around in companies, can be databases, it can be, you know, data lakes. And you want to, you know, make sense of the data that you have, that is floating in the enterprise. And to do that, what you can do is just push the data into Phrasr, the technology that we have, the product that we call, and it will just give you insights in real time. And I'm not talking about, you know, normal one sentences. It will just give you the entire summary report that you can directly look at and make reasons out of. So that is what, you know, this AI-driven natural language generation technology can do for you.
Now, how is VPhrase currently deploying these models? I'm assuming you're using language models. Tell me a little bit about the back end. What are you running on?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, there are multiple natural language processing companies out there. And while talking to them, you would have surely, you know, come up with this problem wherein making intelligent conversational systems like NLUs that you talked about, or, you know, a system wherein, you know, which can generate meaningful language, is a difficult task. And why is it a difficult task? It's because you have to have so many nuances that you have to, you know, take care of. Like Mr. White can be a color also, it can be a character also, and it can be a person also. So right now, you know, for a system to be able to understand this small nuance, it is a difficult task. And similarly, to make sense of all of these different kinds of exceptions that is there in language, what we or any, you know, company working with language has to do is they have to, you know, crunch and put a lot of data and run big models on top of it, making these language models and actually, you know, extracting those parameters and those nuances into the AI models that we have built is a difficult task. Difficult in the sense that it is computational heavy. At the same time, it's very, very expensive for us to, you know, crunch that much data, and to find and clean that data in itself is a task. And that is something that, you know, a normal backend would do. We crunch, we take data from all different kinds of sources. And since our technology is domain agnostic, so maybe you can also use it. Someone from pharma company can use it. Someone from a bank can also use it. So what I'm trying to basically say is that, you know, there are multiple industries that we are catering to using one particular one solution. And that is the difficulty that we are, you know, dealing out with. And to do that, basically what happens is we have to crunch data from these multiple industries and put it into one single source and make our language models learn from that. And using that, we are able to, you know, pick up the nuances of different industries, their slangs, the words that they are generally using. And that is how we are able to, you know, generate language. This task in itself is very, very, we need a lot of time to get the data. We have to do a lot of language modeling. There's a complete platform that we have built that, you know, takes in the data and does all kinds of different, you know, processing to finally feed it into the models that we have. And we get the final model. And that model is deployed in production. And again, inference is again a problem that, you know, we generally go through that, you know, there's so many people want to, you know, just use those models, and the inference or making sense of whatever the query that we are getting in itself is a, you know, issue that we have been facing. So that is how, you know, the entire process works. And that is, you know, it's a mammoth, and we are trying to, you know, run it as much as we can.
So I understand that you are a member of the Intel AI Builders program. Does that mean you're using Intel hardware for your training and your inferencing?
Yeah. So basically, when we started with this, so we were using some of the virtual machines out there in the cloud. So we had these F-series machines running on Skylake processors of Intel. So we had no idea of Intel AI Builders program till then. The team contacted us, told us about this program, they inducted us and gave us few of the machines that are out there. And also at the same time, they gave us some of the libraries. So our stack is mostly, you know, built on top of Python, and we are using a lot of TensorFlow in the background. So the team actually gave us, you know, Intel optimized Python and Intel optimized TensorFlow. And when we ran our experiments on top of these, we were actually able to reduce our cost, and our inference time was actually, you know, we were able to get it better than around 20%, which was a huge thing, because other than taking, let's say, around a day for us, now, you know, we were able to, you know, cut it fast. And since it's a batching process for us, every night we used to, you know, keep it for running for entire night. So this 20% saved a lot in the training part. But the more important thing that happened was, you know, when we were actually working on the inference part, when we deployed the model into the production, that was even faster. And that is where, you know, the real power of the technology that we were using on the Intel AI Builders program came up, you know, in full form, and actually helped us to leverage the speed of inference and increase it. So that is something where, you know, we were able to actually come up with something, some good numbers, and the performance actually helped us, you know, to make sure that whatever the production models that we had and keep it going very fast.
So beyond the Intel hardware on the back end, I think you're also using some optimizations, right, for TensorFlow and Python?
Yeah, so we have Intel optimized Python and Intel optimized TensorFlow. So these are two different libraries. And we sat with the Intel team and their engineers, and they understood whatever the architecture that we had. And they, you know, helped us with the tweaking. So tweaking can actually start from the hardware level. So we didn't even know that, you know, this is something that we can optimize or something that we can tweak around at the operating system level, at the processor level. And that is where, you know, the team actually came up and helped us to basically make sure that whatever the maximum leverage that we can get out of the libraries that were provided, plus the environment that was provided. And that really helped us.
that's great feedback to have. And, you know, I know that we have a lot of engineers here at Intel that have worked really hard on those optimizations. So I'm really happy to hear how much they've helped you. Going back to your platform for a little bit, you know, like we've said, there's a lot of other business intelligence tools out there using AI. What would you see as the main differentiator between your tool and other business intelligence tools that use AI?
First of all, what we as a company are trying to do is we are trying to come up with AI-driven story. Then you will see like entire process of how business intelligence works in any organization. You would see that, you know, there is data that people, you know, pull it from different sources. Then there's basically analysts here who will create these dashboards, these, you know, static dashboards. Like someone will plot those X's and Y's and put it into a beautiful looking dashboard. And these dashboards are then put it across the organization. And then people will sit down whenever the data refreshes, they can see the trends moving or the, you know, the charts moving. That is what a normal BI experience is. And what basically that does, it will tell you what has happened. Because you are looking at the data which is from past and that is just refreshed in front of you, it will never tell you about what you can do about it and why it happened. So basically the diagnostic part or the forecasting part is something which is very difficult for a, you know, for a dashboard, for a static dashboard. And when there is summary reporting that happens on top of BI tools, so someone basically sits down, an analyst will sit down and write stories. Like he will look at the dashboard and understand what is there. And then he will sit down and he will write stories in a kind of a doc format or a PPT format. And then he will share it with his bosses or the executives and to for finally, you know, take actionable decisions. So this process of interpreting these dashboards, these static dashboards, and able to, you know, write stories which can be shared with, you know, the business and the executive summaries that can be shared directly with the management is something that, you know, VFrizz bridges. And we do it automatically using our AI model. So there's no need of a analyst out here. And it will also give you the why and, you know, what you can do about it, part of it. So I would like to share with you, you know, our Gartner report this year on BI. They said that by 2025, I think 5 years from now, 75% of all the BI reports would be consumed in the form of stories. So what I'm trying to tell you is these stories would be automated stories, basically what they're trying to say. And this is the basic nature of how we consume reports. We like to read it in a form of a story with a central theme that this has happened and these are the reasons for that and what can we do about it. So this is the natural way, you know, people understand information, they consume information that is in the form of a story. Right now, someone has to sit down manually and do it on the BI tools. And this is the process that we are trying to automate. We are trying to, you know, go towards that process where you can automatically come up with these English written or whatever the regional level written stories that can be directly shared. These reports will be correct because they are automatically generated using a computer. So numbers will not be wrong. The language is always standardized and it learns from the system. So as the person, you know, interacts with the system, it will understand the jargons in the system. So if an analyst will leave the organization, a new one comes in. So the training time is also that does not go away with the person. So the system stays with you. Whatever has been learned stays with the system. And as the system is deployed and you are able to use it for years, the stories, the quality of stories, the words being used, the kind of recommendation it's giving, just keep on increasing. So it's a kind of a gift that keeps on giving. So this is what we are trying to, you know, achieve as a company, you know, come up with these beautiful stories that a human being can directly consume on the fly automatically without using any human intervention of an analyst or any other person who will sit down and, you know, and try to interpret data on his own.
So VFrizz, what languages does it work on? I'm assuming it works for English, but do NLP for any other languages besides English?
Our tool, again, is, you know, language agnostic. I will give an example. So right now, we have this tool deployed for one of our clients that is generating 500,000 report every month for their investors. So our client has, you know, this investment platform wherein people can come and, you know, look at their portfolio and what is recommended from them. So these are small portfolio reports and recommendations that we have and that we are doing in 4 different Indian languages. So we have the same report available for Bengali, Tamil, and Gujarati. So these are the prominent languages in India, and they have, you know, around 200 to 300 million speakers in India. And our tool is able to generate these portfolios in these regional languages on the fly. And this is something, an example of already a system that is in production for us. But the kind of languages that we support can be any international language. So we have our multiple reports that are in Chinese and even Japanese. And there are a few reports that we have in Italian and French too. So it very much depends upon what is the requirement of the tool and where it is deployed. But it's completely language agnostic. So you can, you know, do analysis in one language and you can put it into any of the different tools that we have and different, you know, language sources. And it will give out the language in Italian, the French, English. And you can go about customize any part of it. So you can go about customizing the language if you want as per your organization. Or you don't want, you're not liking certain words, you can avoid those words also. So this is something that the tool is able to do on the fly, and completely language agnostic tool it is.
So looking ahead for VPhrase, are there any other features or products you're excited about?
Features and products that we are, you know, excited about is, you know, in the field of BI tools, what we are looking into is not only creating these reports that, like I said, like a PPT or a PDF or, you know, email blast that you will get directly into your, like, you know, dashboards or, you know, within your organization. So this is something that we have been doing for a long time. What VPhrase is trying to do at the same time is, you know, we are trying to bridge the gap between where your data resides and how are we able to make a person able to take decisions on top of his data. So we are trying to bridge that gap. So the next thing that we are looking into is an NLU platform that we are trying to build, wherein you can come and ask your question in natural language, let's say in English, like, who are the top five performers in my team this month and who are the five laggards in my area, and will directly give you the insights on that. So the why questions and the what questions that I was talking about is something that you can directly get it directly from the tool using an NLU Canonical interface. So that is something that we are very excited about. And there's one more feature that we are coming up with, wherein you don't have to generate reports, that is PDF reports. You can get audio-visual reports directly from the tool. You put your data, and it will give you directly a video of maybe, you know, animation video, wherein you can see how things are moving for you. So this is something that we are trying to, you know, target to the B2C market, where people are not interested in actually, you know, reading through all the different kinds of, you know, documents and stuff. So what we are trying to do is, you know, we are trying to leverage video format and, you know, whatever, let's say you put in your data and you want to engage with your B2C customers, then you can, you know, send them short summary of their own portfolio, let's say, and how they should invest. Or maybe you can tell them their bank statements and tell them where they should actually spend their money, or, you know, they're spending a lot on, you know, certain things. So basically, you know, how can companies use our platform to communicate with their clients, and that too, you know, a format which is very suitable for most of the B2C customers, that is video. So that is something that we are also thinking of, you know, coming up with.
Well, thanks so much. That's really exciting. For listeners who would like to learn more about VPhrase and your Phraser solution, where should they go for more information?
To know more about VPhrase, you can visit our website. That is vphrase.com. We also have our product, which we call Phraser, and you can go and, you know, visit that also. So the URL is phraser.ai.
Thanks so much for joining us, Vivek. This is Emily Hudson, and you're listening to Intel on AI.